Open your Bibles, Psalm chapter 92, 15 verses, one column, not even a column in your Bible. And so we've got, you know, a lot of short psalms coming up. But this is just a good one. I entitled it, "It is good to be on the Lord's side." It is good to be on the Lord's side. Let's read this psalm in its entirety, and I think we're going to enjoy it. I want to help you understand if, you know, really all I'm going to do tonight is I've outlined this chapter in how God outlined it, and then it makes sense. If you're reading the Bible and it doesn't make sense, pause, go back, reread it, and outline it. And you'll find, wow, there are messages, and there's just communication by the Lord. And if you just outline it, because the Bible does that, particularly in the Psalms, it's written in stanza and song format, and it's a beautiful thing. Let's read Psalm 92. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with the solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." Verse 6. "A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Again, title of the message, "It is good to be on the Lord's side." The Bible says it is a good thing. It gives us four things that are good things. It is a good thing. First, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. I've told you this often. Search the Scriptures. It's a fun study of thankfulness. Romans chapter 1 is one of the most interesting chapters in all the Bible. At the core of the sin, at the core of the sin that led to, you know, the giving up, ultimately to a reprobate mind, it was unthankfulness. They knew God, and they were unthankful. I will tell you, the devil wants you to be unthankful. He wants you to be bitter. He wants you to be unhappy. Because when you're bitter and unhappy, ultimately, do you know who you're bitter and unhappy at? God. Oh, you may think it's your spouse. You may think it's your boss. You may think it's someone else. You may think it's a particular circumstance. But when we really understand truth, that all things pass through the hand of God, we're really upset with him. If somebody's a jerk to you, let's honor Christ. If whatever the circumstances are, horrendous circumstances can happen. I want to be prepared for that. I'm super worried how I'll respond. But I want to give thanks in everything, the Bible says. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord. Here's why we can give thanks in everything. Because God will ultimately work everything out for my good as a child of God. I mean everything. It's going to be amazing when we get to heaven. I think he has all eternity, little puny 6,000 years, to share with us all that he's done and his amazing brilliance, how he was working it all together for his glory and our good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. In the worst of circumstances. I've done this. I encourage you to do it. I've done it mechanically, Joe. I would never necessarily recommend that, but I want to give thanks unto the Lord even when I don't feel it, even when I don't want to, even when I'm unhappy, even when I'm puzzled. I want to give thanks to the Lord. Ultimately, I want to give him thanks from my heart. But until my heart gets it, I at least want my lips to get it, because the next thing say, give thanks unto the Lord, sing praises unto his name. And so these are linked. Give thanks unto the Lord, sing praises unto his name. I love the singing. I love the singing. Take advantage of it. Sing unto the Lord. We had a gift this morning. It was Don's friend, Chris. And I just thrilled to see Chris back there sitting in right by Don. And Chris is over how long? Over 20 years you've known Chris. And knew him at Toyota when you did car sales there. And Chris, I trust. You know, one of the issues about having Bible studies is people learn the right terminology, but Chris seems to have a change, does he not? He's starting to tell his family about Jesus. He's starting to tell his grandkids about Jesus. And he's heard me say that, but I think Chris is doing it with his heart, right? It was a beautiful thing to see just Chris here today, and I don't know if this will be his church. I'm just glad he assembled with his good friend. It is, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Praise, sing praises unto his name. Then look at verse 3. It is a good thing. It is a good thing to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. Now, you know, not just in the morning, but all day long is the kind of the theme. Show forth the loving kindness of the Lord. If you and I are grumpy Christians, we are not showing forth the loving kindness of God. We should be happy people. And I need to look in the mirror because, you know, when I, you know, my kids were just here and they dropped off Cliff, and you know, I don't have a lot of time with my kids, and I want to be like, Poof! Are we in a crisis in America? You know, I did this. I didn't grab them by the collar, but they felt like it, I think. I said, are we in a crisis in America? Is there a spiritual emergency in America? And you know, my daughter-in-law just is like, who are you? And she just, I mean, you know, she goes to bed at like 8:30, And you know, everything is like neatly in order, and I'm the opposite, right? I'm like a tornado coming in, going, my hair is disheveled, and I'm like, are we in crisis? And she goes, you know, she goes, it depends on how you define it. I go, you define it, answer your question about whatever your definition is. And she's just like, I don't even want to. You know, and so, you know, then my son goes, you know, Dad, I don't disagree with much of what you're saying, it's your delivery. And so, you know, I mean, hey, you know, my wife, where is she? There she is. I thought she was in the nursery. But it is, I need to work on my delivery. But people need to stop being so soft too. You know, it's like, you know, what is this? Soft serve ice cream? But I need to be more gentle. And so, you know, I thought about that even with my family. You know, those that you're most intense with. I need to show forth his loving kindness. And, you know, take a chill pill. Back off. And, I believe in all those things. Are we in crisis? You know, I mean, James Wilson's message still resonating in my mind. Am I acting as though there's emergency spiritually? I'm not. Is there an emergency spiritually? You better believe it. And so I want to infect people, but you know what I need to do? I need to show forth his loving kindness. That would be the most important thing. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and I need to remember this. I need to remember this. I need to show forth his loving kindness. And then look what it says in verse 2. And show forth his faithfulness every night. Show forth his loving kindness. Show forth his faithfulness. We ought to be a people that we can speak of the faithfulness of God even when the world would say, God has let you down. God has not taken care of you. God has failed you. And we ought to be able to, maybe through tears, maybe through pain, maybe through struggles, maybe through difficulty, let's show forth his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. We'll be able to sing that with our hearts. And it's really hard right now. But the world, when they see you struggling, when they see you floundering, when they see you not having the victory that they think a Christian should have, great is his faithfulness. Preach it. Sing it. Show forth his faithfulness. Those are four good things. Four good things. Give thanks unto the Lord. Sing praises unto his name. I'll talk to you probably Wednesday night about Chase and Ashley. You've seen that letter. We'll be offline. I'm offline tonight. I just don't want to do it tonight. Tonight's the Lord's Supper. And I talked to Chase last week, and I was super encouraged. He said Ashley is singing again. And he didn't know that I was going to tell him, Chase, if you don't know what to do, sing and have your wife sing. Through confusion, through pain, through difficulty. We'll talk about that after the service on Wednesday. Not very long. And sing. Sing. He told me that without him even knowing my perspective and what I think, is dominating in the Scriptures. When you struggle, the last thing you want to do is sing. Sing unto the Lord. Now, this is terrible. When I had Cliff on Friday night, I started singing to him. He threw a fit, man. He threw a fit. And I told Deb that. She had me sing Jesus Loves Me, what, last night? Yeah, I thought, man, he's going to throw a fit. And he looked, I'm like, this, what was it? What was up Friday night, friend? Right, I was trying to sing to him because, you know, again, Cliff was like, you know, I didn't realize because I only gave him 4 ounces, right? But it's, he was throwing a fit. And so I was trying, though, I was trying. God's word. Jesus loves me. He goes, I don't care about Jesus right now. Where's my milk? But he was not a good communicator, right? And so then I tried a different song. It didn't work. But you got to, I'll just tell you, sing unto the Lord, sing praises unto him. Why? The Bible gives us 3 reasons why. I want you to enjoy the Bible. See, this, when I read this and I read Psalm 92, I go, oh, what a great psalm. And then the first thing I go, Joe, is I go, well, what am I going to preach? Right? And so, that verse by verse, right? I don't know if I would pick Psalm 92. I have preached Psalm 92 at another church years ago. But it's totally different outline that I have now. But it is just outline at first. Don't worry about what you're going to teach. Don't worry about what you're going to preach. See what God has to say. Just outline it. That's all I'm doing. Why? Why should we give thanks, sing praises, show forth his loving kindness, and show forth his faithfulness? Look at this. For thou, it's the reason why. Verse 4. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Why should I give thanks? Why should I sing praises? Why should I show forth his loving kindness and faithfulness? Because he has made me glad through his work. Now, the work. We spoke of that, talked about it, prayed about it downstairs. And the work is the work of Christ. But it's far more than that. But the work. You know, and it doesn't say the work here. It says, for thou hast made me through thy work. You know, there's many works of the Lord. And he has made me glad. You understand this? The happiness of the Lord, I mean, the happiness of the world is because of God. You know, food, they you know, this the world and what they can create from God's own creation, they couldn't do anything without God. He gave them their mind. He gave us all of the resources, both his resources that he's created and the resources of everything. And the gladness of the world is in God. They just don't recognize it. You know, it's terrible that you and I wouldn't recognize it. Man, I noticed a lot of cars yesterday coming back from Glencoe. Man, we hit traffic every which way. Every which way. I should have listened to you, Ron, but I've learned it's better not to. That's what Ellen told us. But we just ran into traffic. I'm just kidding. She only told us that once. But never. But we ran into traffic car after car after car. And the shuttle doesn't have air conditioning. And so, you know, I already knew what I was going to preach tonight, and I was trying to be thankful. I'm so glad I'm sitting here in traffic. But he has made me glad through his work, through Christ. Help me. We need each other. Help me that we are glad through his work until we die. There's no other way. We're going to see that. But it's like this. Look, and this is beautiful. Look, verse 4. Why should we give thanks, sing praises, show forth his? Because I will triumph in the works of thy hands. My victory comes through the work of God. My victory comes through the work of Christ. My victory comes through all that he has enabled me to do. As a believer, he has given me all I need to be victorious. I will triumph through thy work. And then verse 6 and 7, look at this. Look at verse 5. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. His ways aren't our ways, his thoughts aren't our thoughts. But verse 6 and 7, a brutish man knoweth not. Neither doth a fool understand this. Jeff's brother, his name is Bill. And so thank Jeff next time you see him. Jeff's out of town this weekend. They replaced the windshield on the van, no charge. Now, I tried to, we're going to send a gift card to Bill, his brother, who's lost. But I got to talk to Bill, a little bit. And I'm glad we're not online, but I would call Bill a brutish guy. He was super nice to me. But Bill doesn't believe anything in the Bible. And so I looked at Bill and I said, Bill, you know what you need? You need the good old-fashioned fear of God, because right now you think he's a joke. I said, Bill, whatever sin you want to do, you should go do it. You guys are like, I did say that. I said, do it often, because you're going to go to hell unless you get the fear of the Lord. You might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you go to hell. And I said, I don't say that because I'm trying to be a jerk. You have zero fear. And I'm not trying to put the fear in him. I hope there's a night where you can't fall asleep because you're afraid of God. That'll be the mercy of God if that's the case, Bill. And I said, has anybody else said something like this to you? He said, no. I said, well, good, because if a bunch of people aren't telling people this, I'll back off. He's a brutish man. It's a joke to him. When I said, oh, it's a joke to you, he said, no, 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 God's not a joke to me. I said, you just told me you're an atheist, so how is he not a joke to you? And I want to tell you, we are blessed, you know, and so the third one here is we know the end of the wicked. But look at this, a brutish man knoweth not. He had no clue. No clue. And I know you don't have to handle it that way, and I always regret many times I walk away. But he received it in a way that I wanted him to. I said, I'm not trying to twist your arm. I said, but you need the good old-fashioned fear of God. And I said, you can't muster that up. I said, but maybe God just might do that for you. Do we have the fear of God, or are we like a brutish man? We walk around and we claim that we're saved and we have no fear of God. We're just gallivanting around in life. We're just like the brutish man. It says, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, there's a momentary flourishing. It is that they shall be destroyed forever. Oh, teenagers, young people, you're going to hear the whispers. You're going to want to quit one day. It ain't worth it. What else is there? The world? Oh, the devil. The reality is, there's pleasure in sin. There's pleasure in sin. That's why people do it. But the end is destruction. It's destruction. And see, that's why it's good to give thanks. That's why it's good to sing praises. That's why it's good to show forth his loving kindness and show forth his faithfulness. You know why? Because it keeps us very conscious of the end of the wicked. In a crowd this size, not very big, dozen or so, in 10 years you'll have bought the lie. Who's it going to be? Some old, some young, could be the preacher. Look, I'm not saying I'm immune from that. I want to tell you this. I want to keep thanking him. I want to keep praising him. I want to show forth his loving kindness and show forth his faithfulness so I don't fall for the lie and forget the end of the wicked. Let it just remind you of the fear of God when you see another believer fall. Don't you dare judge them. Don't you dare be rough on them. You should get on your knees and thank God to say, oh God, thank you that it wasn't me. Goodness and loving kindness of God. There's not one person in here. It's because of your faithfulness that you're here. It's because of his faithfulness that you're here. It's the goodness of God. I look at you, Grant. Grant, you've been just a breath of fresh air in my summer. It's been good. I think you have for our church. Don't you take that for granted. Turn. And but it's this, it's you're going to want to walk away at some time. Don't, Grant. Fall on your knees and begin to thank God with how good he's been. Remember the end of the wicked. The devil wants to chew you up and spit you out more than anything. When you begin to make a difference in people's lives, you become a target. He's after you. Jaden, he's after you. You thought you were going to look down and I wasn't going to pick on you? Oh yeah, I'm going to make you look up. He's after you too, okay? I want you to show your family what a soldier is, all right? And love them all the same, right? I want them to see what does a dedicated man of God look like for the glory of God and maybe just the benefit of your family, right? You're different? Are you going to stay different? Or is this just a passing phase? You know, it is stay in the book, thank God, praise him, show forth his loving kindness, show forth his faithfulness, and you will be reminded of his great work. Never forget that. Look with me at verse 8. The Lord, it says, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. He is most high. Just remember this. He's the king. He's the boss. He's the master. He's the one that everyone will answer to. So to whom shall we go? Peter, I quote it often. Jesus said, will you go also? In that famous chapter, John 6, you know, it said, many departed from him because of these hard sayings. You know, eat my flesh, drink my blood, eat my flesh, drink my blood. What he was talking about is you have to, it's all in, it's all or nothing. You have to fully consume me or you get none of me. I'm talking spiritually. Many departed, it said. And Jesus looked at the 12 and said, will you go also? And Peter always spoke before he thought. This time he got it right. To whom shall we go? He is the most high. He is the most high. Just remember that. God is the most high. Bill, you have this thing going on in your head. I think it's good. You're like, and it's, you constantly are trying to remind yourself Jesus is sitting right next to you. Not to your left, but to your right. Jill, we all knew that he wasn't talking about his left-hand side. He's shared many things with us. Just kidding. It makes a difference in your life if you're conscious that Jesus is literally right there, isn't it? We wouldn't say the things we say, think the things we think, do the things we do, if we really grasp that Jesus is right there. It's a big deal. He is the Most High. I want you to see this. It's good for the saved. Look at this in verse 10. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. You know, some people criticize the horn of a unicorn. You know, I don't know. There might have been unicorns. I just know this. All a unicorn is an animal with one horn. Unicorn. Okay? I mean, and some people say it's the rhino. I don't know. I literally think there could be a unicorn, a horse with a horn. Probably not rainbow, but, you know, animals go extinct all the time. The people want to mock this, right? Maybe it's a rhino, but maybe it's a real horse that had a horn. And so he says this, he says, but my horn, and the horn of an animal is the source of their strength. I've watched, has you ever seen a rhino and a lion try to attack a rhino? He found out it's bad news, man. That horn flips that old lion all over the place. The horn of an animal represents their strength. And the Lord says this, but my horn, this is the author, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The Lord will strengthen you. Look at verse 12. The Lord Most High is good for the saved. Verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And so there's a couple things. One, the palm tree goes very, very quickly. I remember years ago I was involved in a project with palm oil. And so we were, I forget what country we were dealing with it in. So we need a ton of palm oil, but they grow super fast. And so he says in verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Fast growth. But then he says he shall grow like the cedar. Slow, huge, and powerful. God will give you swiftness, and God will give you strength and power. This is when we know the Lord, but it's bad for the lost. Look at verse 9. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Again, that title, workers of iniquity, those people that make it their job to lead others into sin. Let me tell you, if you've got friends, if you've got neighbors that are trying to pull you into sin, cut off the relationship immediately. And if you don't have the tact to tell them why, just say, I cannot honor God and be your friend. I told you about this real estate agent. We were up in Lima, in Lima, a very small town. We were coming back to Cincinnati. And this real estate agent, you know, super small. So when you transfer with P&G, they guarantee you the average of the two appraisals. So then I know what I'm going to ask my price for. I ain't going below the appraisal, right? So this real estate agent, she was the mover and the shaker. Couldn't trust her as far as I could throw her, but she knew everybody in Lima. So she would ask me all the time, well, who were your appraisers? I said, and I would just ignore her question. I had to go out into the garage to get some paperwork. And I love my wife. So this lady said, who are your appraisers? And Deb wasn't ready. She, we don't want you to know. You know, it's okay. It's okay just to tell people what the truth is sometimes. You know, it'd be, you know, try to figure something out, but we don't want you to know. I didn't want her to know. Because if she knew that, I mean, anyway, you can disagree with that, but it's this. It's you need to hang around people that do what's right. If it requires you hurting somebody's feelings versus you being infected by someone's sin, cut off the relationship and explain to them why. I cannot be with you. You drag me into sin. You're a bad influence on me. I want you to know Christ, but you seem to have no interest in that. You don't have to yell like that. But it's that serious. Ladies in the front row. This is an all-ladies row now. Right? I mean, there's one spot available, men. Right there to my right. You have the pick of the litter right here. But it's this, ladies. Just make sure your friends know Jesus. It's a big deal. It'll change your life. I think every single Christian in here, I'm going to ask this question. Here's the question I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you know what I believe to have been awesome Christians that were derailed by either a bad spouse or a bad friend? How many of you knew people that I think were just dedicated to Christ, they began to hang around with the wrong person, whether it's a spouse or a friend, and you've seen them derail? Raise your hand. That's a sad state, isn't it? It's a reality. I hang around the wrong people. You hang around the wrong people. You hang around people that what they want to do is, you know, I'm telling you, you hang around people that have inappropriate jokes, you know, just borderline inappropriate innuendos, cut them off. Don't play with fire. Verse 10, he says, but verse 9, for lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Look down at verse 11. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies. We will be able to see that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Look at verse 11. Mine eye also shall see my desire in mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. God will allow us to see the end of the wicked. But when you're young, we are fooled. And when we're old, the Bible says, flee youthful lusts. Flee it. The young people ought to be the ones struggling, not old people. We old people ought to be great examples. The Bible says, just flee that. Let the young people struggle, and young people don't have to struggle. In Christ, you can have victory. The Lord is most high. It's good for the saved, bad for the lost. And then, I love this. This is, you wouldn't think this is Old Testament, but it's so important. Look at this in verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. And I am speaking to the Sunday night, Wednesday night group. It can be taxing at times. Babies, uncooperative. You know, blow out 30 seconds before you're supposed to leave. Attitudes. Plant your families in the house of the Lord. Because here's what the Bible says. Those that be planted. So that's the old term for church rat. You know, just how I use that. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. This flourishing is where you want to flourish, and it's in the courts of God. I'm super encouraged by this thing in verse 14. They will bring forth fruit in old age. I think that could mean a number of things. It's train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It may look like your efforts in bringing your children to church have failed. There's a popular movement as though, how dare you make them go to church? You should make them brush their teeth but not go to church. You know, I mean, our world is about dumber than dumb, right? Do it nicely. I doubt there's battles of coming to church. Just make it, say, you know, if you'd like to live, then come on with me. All right, yeah, just right here. And, you know, you can just, my kids never questioned it. And even though, you know, at times, you know, they act like they had it rough, you know. We were in church a lot with church plants and just all kinds. We camped at church buildings sometimes. But I want to tell you, it says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I told Bill this yesterday. He's just out there beating his brains out, and Zach as well. But Zach's used to it, you know. So, and it's yeah. That's what Lauren said. But Bill, you know, that thing so loud. And I said, Bill, I said, let's say one day you despise me. I don't remember what my words are, right? You're like, that's not your words you use, but so I have to make them up. You despise me. I said, remember this, you weren't doing it for me. You're beating your brains out for the Lord. You know, you can't hear Jill anymore, but you're doing it unto the Lord. I want you to know that in ministry, you serve the Lord, you're going to get smacked in the face. When you do it for the Lord, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where your money goes. It was to the Lord. It doesn't matter where your time goes. It was to the Lord. But I'm telling you, his plan is the house of the Lord. I'm not telling you, I promise you this, this is God's plan, that we gather together, assemble together, and we help one another stay focused on Christ. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. They'll bring forth fruit in old age. I think another application is not only that the fruit will manifest itself when they're old, but I trust this. I'm still going to have fruit in my old age. I expect that. I got to avoid those seven issues we talked about this morning. But then why do we do all this? Why does all this matter? Why? So look, just I want to get you the momentum. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I got one third of that down. And so why does all that matter? It matters for three reasons. To show three things. To show that the Lord is upright, and then I'll talk about each one of these real quick. To show that the Lord, he is my rock. To show that there is no unrighteousness in him. And so, all of this is about God. It's to show that the Lord is upright. The world does not think God is good. The world does not think God is upright. The world thinks God's a misfit, and he's out of control, and he's lost touch with humanity, and he's just, he can't fix it. Our job is to show that the Lord is upright. I'm going to go to my grave. I'm not worried about it. If people think I'm crazy, the Lord is upright. He is my rock. I told you last year I was at the aquatic center and passing out VBS flyers. And man, this one conversation just turned so south. Guy started yelling at me. I really just didn't know what to do. Really, I walked away, but he didn't shake me. I felt bad for him. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock. And then there is no unrighteousness in him. God doesn't need us to defend him. I'm not suggesting that tonight. But I will tell you this. I live to show that the Lord is upright. He is worthy because he can be trusted. He is upright. I want you to know, and I need, he is my rock. He is my foundation. He is my stability. He is what keeps me from being a nut, right? God keeps me sane and keeps me thinking right. His Word does. And I want to show that there is no unrighteousness in Him. The world thanks God. Just remember this. Isaiah 53. They esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Who did they esteem stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted? Jesus. I was like, well, maybe we need to redo year two. But I want you to know this. Why did they esteem Jesus smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted? He was unlike any other man. His visage was marred more than any man, it said in Isaiah 52. And when they saw that, there's like, ain't no way. That's the Son of God. Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I want to tell you, there is no unrighteousness in Him. The world will look at us and they'll think God's let us down. Let's praise the Lord, thank Him, praise Him, show forth His loving kindness, show forth His faithfulness. He is worthy. No better life, no better way. I don't think you learned anything tonight, but this is important. Do what you know you're supposed to do. Give thanks, sing praise, show forth His loving kindness, show forth His faithfulness, so that we might show He is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Psalm 92. It's a very encouraging psalm. It's a very encouraging psalm, and it's the opposite of how the world views You. They blame everything bad on You, and everything good they take credit for. Father, we are not much different, and that's the tragedy. I pray that You'll help us, that in everything we would give thanks, that in everything we would see Your faithfulness, that in everything we would